WTAW News Time is 6 minutes after 8. It's 64 degrees at the studios. We'll take a look at your forecast coming up after the news, brought to you by the BCS Regional Association of Realtors, your voice for real estate in the Brazos Valley. Go to bcsrealtor.com. Good morning, I'm Chelsea Reber. A divided Bryan City Council approved negotiating to buy land for a youth-oriented sports super park on the city's west side. Rafael Pina, who voted no, wanted to expand BRAC, Bryan's Regional Athletic Complex, to compete with Veterans Park and College Station.
Attract those tournaments that have come out of town so we can bring your heads in beds and that we can increase the tax base by building new hotels, more businesses.
Mayor Jason Bayinski told Pina the prospective site has land for new development where BRAC does not, and hotel occupancy money can be applied towards the new park.
BRAC focuses more on adult softball, and this is going to focus solely on Little League, softball, peewee football, soccer.
The only location information was the land is in Al Sines' district and borders Pina's district. The Bryan School Board has started talking about how the next superintendent will be selected. During last week's meeting, David Stasny was ready to seek candidates.
I think it's important that, without, again, rushing the process, that we certainly show the community that we're ready to begin the process. And I'm interested in going ahead and taking that first step, which is to post a position.
Stasny then joined the rest of the board in not opposing President Doug Wonenberger's suggestion to consider using a search firm.
I think our next step is to gather information on what those options are.
The board and interim superintendent Tim Roeke have agreed on a supplemental contract where Roeke will be paid an additional $37,000 per year. The College Station Police Department will be putting 4 more officers on the street by ending its presence in local high schools and middle schools. Chief Scott McCollum says it's something they have told College Station school administrators for several years.
We're not walking away from anything. We're in the game with regard to providing services to the district with initiative, of course, to move in a different direction so that we can address the needs of the growing city that we're responsible for.
The College Station School Board is considering a contract with the Brazos County Sheriff's Office for school resource officers. 1 month does not start a trend, but the Texas A&M Real Estate Center noted in August a drop in the demand for multifamily housing. Chief Economist Jim Gaines says the demand for single-family homes continues to be strong, which means the selection of what is available remains limited.
I was out at the parade of homes last weekend and talking to some of the home builders. They were telling me that they're just as busy as they can be, but a lot of what they're building is custom. And even when they start a spec home, they're, in general, being able to sell it long before they actually finish construction.
The Real Estate Center says College Station Bryan is 1 out of 2 of the state's 25 metropolitan areas to have an explosive price behavior of home sales from the middle of last year to the middle of this year. Motorists south of Welburn have another couple of days to cross the railroad at Straub Road. The Brazos County Road and Bridge Office says they were told by Union Pacific they had issues making the transition to open a new crossing at Greens Prairie Trail. That has delayed opening the new crossing and closing Straub Road until tomorrow. And a wide variety of Texas businesses yesterday spoke out against a proposed bill in the legislature that would restrict the ability of transgender individuals to use the bathroom that matches their sexual identity.
Many of them are hospitality businesses like hotels and restaurants. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick says his bill would be the Women's Privacy Act. But Jody Bailey Newman, who owns several bars, says that's a bad name.
I'm a mother, I'm a wife, I'm a small business owner. I don't need my privacy protected. I need my small business to flourish.
They're afraid that major events like the NCAA Final Four set for San Antonio in April of 2018 will be canceled and tourists will stop coming if what she calls discriminatory laws are passed. In San Antonio, Jim Forsyth, TSN News.
WTAW News Time is 10 minutes after 8. It's 64 degrees. The text line is open. Be a part of the show. We'd love to hear from you. 979-695-1620. This look at news is brought to you by the BCS Regional Association of Realtors. One more look at news at 8:30, or you can always go online to WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber, News Talk 1620, WTAW.
Did you know that Bryan and College Station were both voted as top 10 most improved cities in the U.S.? Since the recession, our market is booming, and now is the time to buy, sell, or invest in real estate by partnering with one of the trustworthy realtors with the BCS Association of Realtors, Brazos Valley Realtors, investing their time, their efforts, and their energy in this community. Visit bcsrealtor.com to find an agent and get started on the next exciting chapter of your life.
Howdy, I'm Dave Rusink, former College Station City Councilman, and I support Linda Harvell for College Station City Council. I've worked closely with Linda on the College Station 75th Anniversary Committee and the Bryan College Station Sister Cities Board. Linda is a team player without being tied to any special interest group. She wants to see smart, sustainable growth while maintaining our neighborhood integrity. Join me in voting for Linda Harvell for College Station City Council. Learn more at votelinda.org.
Paid for by the Linda Harvell Campaign. Ben White, Treasurer.
Good morning, about 8:12, our Brazos Valley weather forecast. It's brought to you this morning by Anchor Foundation Repair, the leader in foundation repair for more than 30 years. They also do polyurethane concrete raising. For more information, go to anchorfoundationrepair.net.
Sunshine will be with us throughout the day today, courtesy of high pressure well off to our east. It's going to result in some warm temperatures. We're around 85 later today. We're going to be clear tonight, 60 to 65. More sunshine and warm weather in the forecast for tomorrow. Temperatures near 85. Tomorrow night, we're clear, 60 to 65. Sunshine and quite warm during the day on Friday. Highs are going to be anywhere from 85 to 90 degrees. I'm meteorologist Rob Carolyn for News Talk, 1620 WTAW.
8:12. Well, this is a happy story. Not.
Oh.
Okay, sorry. So, you ever buy anything online using your credit card?
Sure, yes. Once or twice.
Yeah, once or twice. Well, just like your legitimate shoppers, criminals are buying more goods and services online with your credit
card. Yep.
Yeah. The rate of online fraud rising sharply as the growing number of purchases take place on the internet, while your brick-and-mortar merchants race to lock down their vulnerabilities in the checkout line. It's kind of the same thing in the, as they call it, card-not-present purchasing situation. That's prompting some new steps to try to curb the threat. The credit card industry yesterday announced a plan to encourage online merchants to provide card issuers with more detailed customer information that could be used to catch fraudulent purchases. Now, again, let me rephrase that. The credit card industry yesterday announced a plan to encourage online merchants to provide more information about you.
Yep.
See, that's that detailed customer information.
Kind of a,
more information about you.
Kind of a double-edged sword there, huh?
Well, you know, again, what's happened is we are getting trained to want it and want it right now, today.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, the industry introduced the new standards for the card issuers to put the technology in place that will accept additional information so that the merchants can authenticate the transactions. Again, it's to protect us. The move will allow merchants to send information such as the customer's email address, billing, and shipping details to banks as additional tools to verify the purchase. And I'm certainly not saying this is all bad, but just understand, once again, some information that they didn't used to have, they will have soon.
It's a slippery slope. Nothing could go wrong.
Now, in the card-not-present transaction, obviously there's nobody standing there to authenticate you, so that means that that's kind of the path of least resistance for the people who steal. Now, here's the thing that's a little concerning. There are a lot of countries that have been using chip technology for years. I mean, this is one thing that America has been well behind the curve.
Okay.
They've been doing near-field communications where you could tap your card on that little plexiglass thing. They've been doing that for years in Europe, and it's still kind of a new thing here if you just tap your card.
Right.
Now, the chips, they've done a good job of getting those new chip cards out, and even the time to complete the transaction has been cut in about half. It used to be about 13 seconds, and now it's down to about 6 seconds.
Yeah, it's getting better.
It is. But still, what that means is they've been having online theft with chip cards in Europe. It slowed down some, but because the penetration in the market is not 100% in the United States, It means the worst may still be ahead of us. Mm. There still may be more situations where we'll have those folks using our cards. And the numbers that they've put out are staggering.
Well, and the thing is, it's really one of those things that you think, oh, it won't happen to me. It's right. It's easy just to say, oh, okay. Yeah, I hear about it all the time. It's almost like we hear about it so much, we become immune to it, and we just, until it happens to you, you really just don't even worry about it.
Yeah, we're desensitized.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
The figures that they show this morning, as of 2011, we're talking the amount of card-not-present fraud, okay? People who are using the information without actually holding the card. In 2011, we were talking about $2 billion or so. Right now, we're at a little more than $3 billion, and by 2020, we will be over $7 billion in fraud of card-not-present. So, yes, the worst may well be ahead of
us,
and don't know what, at least right now, we can do. Hello?
Scott, this is Skip Moore.
Hey, Skip.
All the online transactions that I do, you have to put that little number that's on the back of your card?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wouldn't that solve the problem? Or
well, I hope so, but I'm not exactly sure how the information gets captured. That's the, CSV number, what that is.
Something like that.
Yeah, that's right. Thanks, Skip. Well, you know, apparently there are enough opportunities, and while I say that, let me see, what's today? 10 days ago, I had to cancel one of my credit cards because somebody had spent $689 in Louisiana.
Oh, wow. Ooh,
okay,
yikes.
And you know, and again, I really appreciated the credit card company for doing that, for saying, you know, please verify this. Well, you know, I don't know exactly what the purchase was to Skip's question, but they had all the information they needed to be able to take that information and make a purchase, and they tried three. Two were declined, but one was accepted. So, you know, the credit card company's out that. And by the way, that'll change. You know, soon somebody else will be responsible. But just letting you know, one more thing to worry about. And yes, as you said, Chelsea, of course it's not going to happen to me.
Right, yeah.
It happens.
Until it does, yeah.
Okay, new study showing which U.S. cities search for which health conditions the most will make you feel sorry for Columbus, Ohio. Researchers at the Sunbelt Staffing, that's a healthcare recruitment company, recently examined data revealing which health conditions were most searched by Google computer users in different cities and states. U.S. Americans search for medical conditions like depression, eczema, and anxiety up to 10 times a minute on Google.
Wow.
Okay, look, there's a big difference between depression and eczema. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Big time.
All right.
Yeah.
Depression leads the pack, 450,000 average monthly searches, and the same city tops the list for searches of depression. That would be Columbus, Ohio. Wow, I have no idea why.
Poor Columbus.
Yeah, Pittsburghers search most for migraines. D.C. residents search most for the common cold. Detroiters search for sore throats more than anybody. Seattle and Portland, not far behind. Nashville residents search for ulcers more than any other city. And poor Pittsburgh, which would, just like the Eastern Seaboard, to turn the lights out and hand them the cool little washcloth to deal with their migraines.
Mm-hmm.
And Chicago people lead searches for anxiety.
You know why? People are getting killed there.
That's the reason.
Uh-huh.
And they're having riots in the jails, in case you missed that. So just letting you know, not quite 500 people killed in Chicago last year, the entire year. Now we're up to 613 already for this year, in case you missed that.
I can see
the
anxiety, yeah.
I'm surprised that the most searched for ailment was not gunshot wound.
Well, that too. Yeah, what do I do with a gunshot wound? Strange new millipede has been found that has 414 legs.
Who counted them?
Don't know. 200 poison glands.
Ooh.
The bizarre little thread-like critter has been found lurking in the dark underground caves in California's Sequoia National Park.
Who was looking for it?
I don't know. And who counted the
the
little,
and
you
the glands?
Probably somebody getting paid a lot more than us.
Yeah, maybe. The creature's 200 glands squirt defensive poisonous chemicals. Squirt them. Okay? It's been named the
How much
Ikalami
poison
Kibini.
Can he squirt out, though? He's so tiny.
And, well, then he has to rest all day because he's done that.
Yeah.
So just saying.
Right. How long does it take to refuel?
One more. Okay. An off-duty Indiana trooper doing yard work when Samuel Wilson drove his mower to the trooper's yard. Wilson, who police said was obviously intoxicated, asked for a tow. for a tow. It's T-O-W, not like, you know,
right,
off
not,
your foot.
Not,
yeah.
not T-O-E.
The
yeah.
trooper instead offered to call someone who would give the man a ride.
My buddy down at the precinct.
That's right, yeah. But police said that Wilson turned vulgar and belligerent.
Oh.
They say Mr. Wilson pulled a knife from his belt.
Whiskey makes me angry.
Yeah.
And threatened the trooper. Wilson was persuaded to put the knife down but refused to cooperate. When another officer arrived, he refused to follow directions, even attempted to use his 5-year-old son as a shield.
Oh, we didn't. We forgot to mention the child involved.
Yeah. That escalated quickly.
Very.
Wilson was arrested.
Yes.
Guess so.
As he should be.
We're going to drive down to see the trooper? Is that what we're going to do?
Man.
Okay. Yikes.
Now, okay, it's 8:21. We have talked, I don't know, from time to time about self-driving vehicles, mm-hmm. and I think we're in Pittsburgh. They started using taxis. A self-driving semi-truck developer last week completed a 120-mile beer run.
Woo-hoo!
A beer delivery across Colorado without a driver behind the wheel. In fact, he was hanging out in the sleeper cabin of his tractor. He slipped back there after loading up the truck, pulling onto the highway, and engaging the self-driving system. The big rig, equipped with cameras, radar, and loads of new technology, then proceeded to drive itself along I-25 between Fort Collins and Colorado Springs at an average speed of 55 miles an hour, using GPS to guide the way. Truck was followed by troopers. The truck was developed by Otto, a company which is owned by Uber. As for the first autonomous delivery, Budweiser created 45,000 specially designed cans to commemorate the event and
oh,
put
nice.
Them on sale in local stores.
So these self-driving cars are working out.
Well, I think so. Yeah. Well, they say, all right, what do we need to do? If we want to get the public behind us, we have got to learn to efficiently, safely, and correctly deliver a product that they are going to demand.
Well, and what this really could change is the trucking industry, because
yeah.
there's so many that you can only travel so far before you're forced to take a rest stop.
Very true.
And now you've got guys that can just sleep while their truck is
right
driving across the state.
Well, and as we've talked about before, because of ethanol, you can't put stuff in the pipeline like you used
mm-hmm.
to. You have to truck stuff. So that means more drivers, and the trucking industry, I think they've kind of gotten over that little hump, but for a while they're having trouble getting enough people to get CDLs because
right.
you have to have a good record and
background and everything.
Yeah, all the background
yep.
has to work out. So, but again, they were probably smart to start with beer, something
yeah.
America feels they have to have.
It's Karistan Month at Aggieland Carpet One. Speaking with Ron Smith.
Ron, you offer a lot of rugs here in Aggieland Carpet One. You've got a ton of Karistan rugs hanging in the back. Tell me about those.
Well, Karistan rugs are some of the finest rugs made. They have been for many years. They're one of the oldest rug manufacturers in the United States. They are all American made, and that's really a great thing for a very high quality product.
They're an heirloom quality, and what that means to people is they can pass them down to generations, and you've seen that.
Oh, they're so durable. I think their durability, the quality of the wool is second to none. They use the finest New Zealand wool. They don't use just the same New Zealand wool that others are using. They're using the top grade, the very finest wool. Those rugs are built to last. They are very easy to keep clean and take care of.
Come see us today at Aggie Lane Carpet One, next to Harley Davidson on Highway 6.
Beautiful. Sioux Falls Prater's selection of John Deere round balers maximize uptime and minimize operation costs, so you're able to do more for less. Right now, get a John Deere round baler at 0% interest for 48 months. John Deere balers are made with the strongest and most durable internal components. They also feature an adjustable hitch, a BaleTrak Pro Monitor controller, and a mega-wide plus pickup with mega-tough pickup teeth. So stop by today or view our inventory at cptractor.com. Offer ends October 28, 2016. Subject to approved installment credit with John Deere Financial. Some restrictions apply. See dealer for details.
Have you outgrown your nest? I'm quite advanced. Call my mom, Monica, to find your dream nest.
Hi, I'm Monica Van Est with Coldwell Banker Agtown Realtors, Aggie Class of 03. After being in the real estate business 16 years, I've learned how to help my clients find the perfect nest. Have you found that you have an empty nest and need to downsize? Are you looking for a new nest or looking to buy a nest for your investment? Call Monica Van Est, Agtown Realtors, 574-4118.
I'm Bruce Vail with Your Money Now.
In addition to announcing its proposed mega merger with Time Warner over the weekend, AT&T also released its third quarter results. They provided a little window into why the company is seeking to diversify away from its U.S. wireless business. AT&T said it lost 268,000 mainstream wireless phone customers during the quarter. Wireless revenue dipped 0.7%. Missed payments on credit cards that were issued recently by lenders are accelerating faster than missed payments on older cards. The credit bureau TransUnion says nearly 3% of outstanding balances on credit cards issued last year were at least 90 days behind on payments 6 months after they were originated. That compares with 2.2% for cards issued in 2014 and 1.5% for cards given in 2013. The recent increase in subprime lending is one of the big contributors to the pickup in the delinquency rate. That's your money now.
Flu season is here, but there's something else going around that can be even more contagious, and that's hope. Rite Aid is committed to spreading hope, not the flu. In honor of all our customers who get a flu shot, the Rite Aid Foundation is donating over $1.8 million to more than 350 KidSense charities committed to the health and well-being of children in our communities. So come in today and get your flu shot. No appointments necessary, and it's free with most insurance. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacy for details.
In my line of work, I'm trying to make a difference, not $1 billion, but I want to save for the future too. So this year I partnered with TIAA to help me map out a plan. If I stick to it, I could have an income stream for life and maintain my lifestyle in retirement. Looks like a life of rewarding work could pay off for a lifetime.
Your personal success takes a financial partner who values it as much as you do. Learn more at TIAA.org.
It happens each year, even though it's not yet Halloween. Christmas decorations are going up in stores everywhere. But over at the Apple Store, no matter how many holiday lights they string, nothing is going to stop the global smartwatch crash. Kim Commando here with your Wednesday Digital Consumer Tech Update. Santa's gift list won't include many smartwatches this year. Worldwide sales are down big time since last year, slumping more than 50%. The news is so bad that Google is delaying a software update for its Android-based smartwatches. But at Apple, smartwatch sales aren't just slumping. They're in a free fall. While Apple doesn't release its sales figures, we can track smartwatch shipments from its Chinese manufacturer, Quanta Computer. Those shipments are down a whopping 71%. Smartwatches arrived 2 years ago with a lot of hype, but that was then. For now, it looks like anyone who wanted a smartwatch already bought one. Get all your tech news updated all the time at news.commando.com. That's K-O-M-A-N-D-O.
ADT presents What to Consider When Considering Home Security. An ADT sign is more than a sign. It's a line in the sand. On one side, your family. On the other, an uncertain world.
For over 140 years, more people have chosen ADT to help prevent crime than anyone else. Get ADT starting at just $28.99 a month.
Tested, trusted, proven ADT.
With 36-month contract for licensing and terms and conditions, visit ADT.com.
Ever wish you could hear the Kim Commando Show again because you missed something or forgot to write Kim's tip down? Now you can listen again when you want in crystal clear digital audio. It sounds great. All you need is a Kim's Club membership to get Kim's podcast, webcast, and more. Get your free 15-day trial now. Download the show. Watch the show. Get it all for free. Then it's only a little more than a dollar a week. Sign up now at club.commando.com. That's club.commando.com. Club.commando.com.
The Kim Commando Show is brought to you by Kubota. Value, efficiency, and performance. Find a Kubota dealer near you at TexasKubotaDealers.com.
WTAW News Time is 8:30. It's 64 degrees. We'll take a look at your forecast coming up after the news. Brought to you by Awards & More. Everyone needs their name on something, and Awards & More can put it there. Good morning, I'm Chelsea Reber. The Bryan City Council wants to pursue a super park on the city's west side. Mayor Jason Byinski was part of the 4-1 vote to negotiate the purchase of hundreds of acres for youth and children's sports and the possible development of new businesses.
It's geared solely towards the students and the children of Bryan. And with the Rellis campus just announcing here in the last few months to have something on the west side will definitely be a catalyst.
Rafael Pina voted no because he wanted an expansion of BRAC, Bryan's Regional Athletic Complex. For several years, the College Station Police Department has notified the College Station School District there would be an end to providing four school resource officers. Chief Scott McCollum says the decision was made to start the transition because the four officers that have been in the middle and high schools need to be on the streets.
Anytime we have an SRO opening, be it a new school that opens or a vacancy, we have to pull from the already trained officers to accomplish that task. And so the big challenge for us is the ability to keep those officers on the street patrolling the rest of the city.
McCollum says CSPD will respond to future calls on CSISD campuses. Last week's Bryan School Board meeting included comments from three members about how to proceed with selecting a new superintendent. David Stasny, who said they don't need to be in a hurry but don't need to delay, was ready to post the opening. Trey Moore wanted a decision on the process, and Doug Wannenberger wanted a job description.
I think it's appropriate to talk about how we want to move forward, but I don't think we're ready to post a position yet.
At the end of the discussion, there was no disagreement to consider search firms at their next meeting. The board and interim superintendent Tim Roeke also agreed to a supplemental contract where Roeke will be paid an additional $37,000 per year. Yesterday was supposed to be the day Union Pacific Railroad was closing the Straub Road crossing and open a new crossing at Greens Prairie Trail. Late in the day, the Brazos County Road and Bridge office let us know that none of that will take place until tomorrow. The railroad told the county there were issues on their end that delayed the transition. And several times this year, we have reported the continued demand for single-family housing in the Twin Cities not keeping up with the supply. The chief economist at the Texas A&M Real Estate Center, Jim Gaines, says in August there was a drop in the construction of multifamily housing.
Because that market might be reaching some type of balance. So it fell off a little bit. I think the single family construction is actually still positive.
Barring an economic recession, the demand for single family homes is expected to continue for at least another couple of years. WTAW News Time is 8:33. It's 64 degrees. Text us your news tips, photos, and videos to 979-695-1620. This Look at News is brought to you by Awards and More. More news today at noon, or you can always go online to WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber, News Talk 1620, WTAW.
Awards and More should be your first stop for plaques, trophies, and custom awards. Whether you're promoting your business or getting a trophy for your little leaguer, Awards and More will custom design just the right product for you. Awards and More has t-shirts, printed promotional products, custom engraving, and embroidery. Call 696-3886 or go to awardsandmoreinc.com. Everyone needs their name on something, and Awards and More will put it there. Awards and More, 3518 South Texas Avenue in Bryan.
Hi, John Allen here for Allen Honda, home of the complimentary 6-year, 80,000-mile maintenance. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and we're proud to support the fight against breast cancer. Our Driven to Give sales event to help fund local breast cancer research was a huge success. We're keeping the momentum going and bringing you great deals all month long. Right now, get the 2016 Civic Sedan for $179 per month, or the 2016 Accord Sedan for $189 per month, and the 2016 CRV for $199 per month. Trust in the blue at Allen Honda, your one-stop shopping place.
Hey, good morning. It's 8:34. Our Brazos Valley weather forecast. It's brought to you this morning by United Roofing and Sheet Metal, home of the Duralast roof system, world's best roof. Give them a call at 268-ROOF. Go to UnitedRoofingPros.com.
The main influence on our weather continues to be high pressure, which is over the Gulf Coast and into the southeastern United States. Southerly flow will continue across the state, keeping our temperatures on the warm side. We're partly to mostly sunny and up around 85 degrees this afternoon. Overnight clear, 60 to 65. Sunshine and warm tomorrow. Highs will probably get to about 85. It'll be sunny and warm on Friday with a high of 85 to near 90. I'm meteorologist Rob Carolyn for News Talk, 1620 WTAW.
On Wednesdays, we normally talk to the mayors, but since we've got a lame duck mayor, I thought, well, why don't we get Kelly Templin, the city manager from College Station, and he joins us this morning. How are you today?
I'm fine. So I'm your second choice?
Well, right? I did, you know, it was the name that came to mind, so I thought I'd do that. Well, let's talk roadway impact fees, because that's certainly something that has been talked about a lot in council. I'm going to say, as a taxpayer of College Station, I want those students to have to pay as much as they possibly can so that I don't have to. Maybe an impact fee. I know you have members of council who say it's just another word for a tax. Mm-hmm. But as a view, as the administrator of this city, and as they have to challenge this thing, is your view that this is another name for a tax?
For me, it's you can call it whatever you want, Scott. It's revenue. There's nothing new under the sun. The bill has to be paid. And I think, as you know, the CAC, the Capital Advisory Committee, identified about $120 million in transportation projects that are needed in the relative short term in College Station. Well, we've got a low tax rate and what have you. We can only handle so much debt. And this council was able to find $50 million in the next 5 years out of that $120 million. So this council is having those very difficult conversations about how we're going to pay for the other $70 million in projects. And that's not a static list. That list continues to grow every year. So you can call it a tax. You can call it a table lamp. You can call it whatever you want. We have to find that other $70 million. So I do appreciate the fact that the council is actually having this discussion. Heard a presentation a couple of weeks ago where somebody said College Station is exactly where Austin was 30 years ago. Now, Austin made a conscious decision not to build those road improvements in Austin, thinking that the congestion would slow the growth. That didn't occur. So I think this council has the opportunity to avoid that mistake. And so that's the reason they're having these discussions about impact fees. Impact fees may not be the solution, but there has to be a way to find that other $70 million and the additional that grows with that. You've heard we have almost 61,000 students. The school district continues to grow. College Station is over 109,000 people. So the growth's going to occur. We're still a fast-growing state. We just have to have these difficult conversations. So to me, it's just revenue. And people smarter than me, those people on council, have to make these very difficult decisions. So I just appreciate the fact that we're spending hundreds of man hours doing the analysis, and the council is willing to consider every possible opportunity or revenue source to be able to address it. So it's not fun, I can tell you that. And it's a very inconvenient time to be in College Station because of all of these projects. But if we continue to grow, there's going to be some inconvenience associated with that.
Well, there are. And I have to say, there are parts of College Station I never drive in on purpose now because of that.
Sure.
Which then brings the next question. We elect these people to be the people who have vision. Mm-hmm. And College Station has made some really, really bad decisions when it comes to transportation in the past. Mm-hmm. Right now, people are angry as they're driving on Rock Prairie listening to us, mm-hmm. and not more than a few of them are going, why didn't they fix this when they widened the bridge just 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Lack of vision is one thing I'd like to hear you address, and also when it comes to Holloman. I mean, we knew these were going to be big streets. These mm-hmm. are not surprises, and yet we still, time and again, have to inconvenience the electorate because of this.
Well, and I just had a very interesting conversation with a gentleman who was concerned about that very location on Monday. I drive that at least six times a day, sometimes more, and I'm caught in that same traffic. I live in that area. And, we had to get the project, we had to get Rock Prairie. In a state right-of-way, we had to work with the state to do that. It takes years to be able to get the funds, to be able to get the right-of-way, to be able to get everything we needed there. So there was that. So we had to get the overpass. We couldn't build a wider road than the overpass could handle, so the overpass had to be improved first. And then we had to come back and do Rock Prairie Road. We also had to find the funds for that because of our limited debt capacity. That's part of that $50 million that I talked about earlier. So it'd be nice to be able to do that if the funds were available, but we simply don't have the cash on hand to be able to fix it all at one time. And you could imagine a cataclysm if we had were redoing the overpass at the same time we were doing Rock Prairie. We would effectively shut that down. So, again, that's part of the inconvenience. And, again, I'm inconvenienced every day having to go through that. We looked at a number of different scenarios for how to handle that traffic. What's out there is the best that could be that we could do because we're moving water lines, sewer lines, telecommunication, electrical lines. We had to buy the property. We had to buy part of the Exxon station, which is now the Kroger. We had to buy property from CVS in order to be able to move those utilities first. That has to take place before you can actually move the lanes. Very complicated, very expensive. But again, with the growth in our hospital district, everything like that, we did foresee that project for some time. We simply didn't have the money to do it.
College Station's a growing city, proud yes. to be over 100,000. Lots of things change. Lots of things are different. Seldom do a couple of days go by that there's not an accident mm-hmm. which takes place on a major road that causes traffic to back up.
Correct.
The way that an Austin or a Houston handles an accident on a major road is different than in Bryan College Station.
That's right.
When do you make that determination as to how you will investigate the accidents first of all, as they occur, to clear the path for the other traffic more quickly?
Well, no two accidents are the same, and because of a lot of extenuating circumstances, the College Station Police Department will approach that in a different way, depending on what those circumstances are. The inconvenience of the traffic pattern there is always foremost in our minds. Well, public safety is first, and we think about that. We've had incidents on game days where we have to clear those accidents very quickly. We had a guy that was threatening to jump off the Rock Prairie overpass on a game day of all days. And of course, you know, we had to consider that person's safety plus the people in the vehicles that he might land on, you know, if indeed he did jump. So the problem is no two situations are the same. Do we have to reevaluate that and take a bigger city approach to some of that? I think that's something we have to do on a continuing basis. That's the thing about College Station. I have memories of when it was less than half the size of it is a third of the size that it was now. When I lived here and went to school here, we don't behave the same way as we used to. We still have some of those vestiges. We're still a small town in many regards, but we're going to have to take on more and more of the onus of a larger city. And those kinds of considerations that you mentioned are something that we reevaluate all the time, Scott.
Yep. They're going to have to build schools where the growth is. And
right.
That may change a College Station plan. So how organic has your plan had to be to change the look of this city predicated on where they're building schools?
It has to be extremely malleable. I guess the current topic of conversation is Greensbury Trail. They're building the second school there, and eventually there'll be three schools at Reuter and Greensbury Trail. And the improvements there are about $5 million. We didn't have that budgeted. We had to strip that out of other projects. We will plan for years for improvements in some areas, and then we have to reprioritize or defund projects or limit projects or not do as many projects or actually cut down on the scope of a project. And that's what we did at Greensbury Trail. We stripped $5 million from other projects in order to be able to accommodate the traffic around the school construction there. So other projects that have been scheduled for years that we probably heard us talking about, we'll either delay those or actually reduce the scope. And again, that's just another sort of fiscal issue that we're having to deal with there. The school district, the university are all dealing with these growth issues. We're not immune to any of that any more than Brazos County or the state is.
You would know the figures better than I as far as the number of apartments that are being added to this marketplace. What does that do? Because obviously people will move from one apartment into a newer apartment. That means there are empty apartments there. And so that infill process, mm-hmm. Talk to me a little bit about that infill process and how you see that happening.
We've got a 15-story tower that is under construction in Northgate next to the Rise. The system is involved with a private public-private partnership building 3,400 beds off Luther. There never seems to be an end to the interest in multifamily. There seems to be an endless supply of money for that. that ebbs and flows, but we're seeing a great interest in multifamily here. The economics for that escapes me in the same way that it does for hotels. When the Embassy Suites, which you mentioned earlier, when they came to town, I said, hey, just, you know, what I hear on the streets is we're completely overbuilt. And they said, we're not worried about that. So they're building their $38 million hotel. We're honest with the people about multifamily, too. We want them to come in with their eyes open. I guess, as you said, it's a market-driven issue. People will move to the newest product and what have you. It does create a bit of a vacuum. Does it shift our demographics? I'm sure it does. Does it have an impact on the schools? Yeah, it probably does. But again, that's one of those things. I guess you have to fundamentally ask yourself, do you want the government to be the one that says, you know, we have enough gas stations or fast food restaurants, whatever? Typically, city governments don't limit those kinds of things. The council ultimately has the ability to decide to zone or not zone pieces of property, and that's usually location-specific as to whether that's appropriate. They're great generators of traffic. They have a lot of demand on utilities. So I think they're taking a longer, harder look at some of those projects. Now, of course, the system project is beyond the scope of the city to address, but other ones I think you'll probably take. They'll take a longer, harder look at that because of where we are with regard to our utility capacity.
What the government can say, and the federal government will say, is you don't have enough affordable housing. When are they going to be saying that to College Station?
Yeah, that's always a struggle. Debbie Eller keeps that issue front and center with me. And our issue there is finding land. This is, we're in the same predicament as any developer in conversation is finding land, because the land economics are really what's driving the issue. It's very interesting. People approach me all the time and say, my parents can't afford to move to College Station. My children can't afford to move to College Station. And, I'm affected by those BCAD valuations like everybody else. I see that. I see that shift. I know that we will not set a record, a third record in a row for single-family construction, but we'll get close to it. There is a lot of construction going on. But, again, that economic situation is you can make more money by building a house in a sweet spot, which is well in excess of $300,000 now, not exactly what probably you and I consider to be affordable. It's a rhetorical question, really. How do I change that? The speculation on land within CSISD's boundaries is unlike anything I've ever seen. And that will determine what a lot costs. That will determine the product that's put on that. And I, as a city administrator, I really don't know how to shift that. The growth of the university is unprecedented. So again, there's that crush of interest here in College Station, and just about all of it is within CSISD's boundaries.
Kelly Templin, the city manager of College Station, joining us. Final question, I think, on government above our heads. The Texas legislature will be in session before we know it. I know you're very active in Texas Municipal League, TML. What have they on the agenda that could be of interest?
The city council just got a briefing. We also worked with another outfit in Austin, and they came and gave a briefing to council to talk about things that we might expect. It looks like appraisal caps will come back up. That's something we're watching. There's a movement afoot to forego involuntary annexation in the state of Texas. We're watching that.
Let's dial in on annexation. What are you hearing about that?
Well, there has been a movement afoot for Texas to have its cities forego involuntary annexation. That's come back several legislatures in a row, and it has not passed through the House or Senate. If that comes to pass, then the cities in the state of Texas would not be able to annex property without the permission or request or application of the property owner. There are a couple of states like that. There's sort of unintended consequences of that for cities, and I think also landowners, really with regard to utilities and how those properties are developed. The alternative appears to be MUDs.
Finally, during our recent candidates forum, a subject came up that had already been discussed somewhat, but not as much publicly, and that was opportunities for vocational education. This has been something that that Blinn has provided on some level for a long time, but it would appear that, at least based on the Perriman report, that there's a gap there that needs
Correct.
To be filled.
Yes.
This seems to be a situation, while we're hearing it mostly from the Bryan side, seems to be countywide, and that involves the city of College Station
Correct.
As well. From the College Station perspective, tell me how you're in on this program and what part you see your city playing in this.
A lot of the focus is being driven by the Research Valley Partnership, the RVP, which of course we're a member along with the county and City of Bryan. So, as you pointed out, the Perriman report did report that deficit, and we kind of have I had an interesting conversation with a couple of my council people that were both educators, and we suffer in this county because we're the home of one of the largest state universities in the country. And I think when our kids are 5 or 7 or 12, we don't really foresee the need for junior college because, by God, all of our kids are going to a four-year institution, many of them, we hope, Texas A&M. So, plus we have blends, so we just sort of assume that role has been fulfilled. This is more of a niche that they're looking at, where if we're going to attract industry, if we're going to attract even smart R&D infrastructure, clean industry, we have to have a certain skill level, which doesn't necessarily mean you have to have a four-year degree, doesn't mean you have to have a master's degree. If we attract the right industry here, if we can employ the geneticists that are graduated from Texas A&M University, and we also have the lab techs, it's hard to attract that level of employment to College Station. And you mentioned our housing cost, other things. There's great competition for that. It'd be nice if we're able to grow some of that here locally. And that's what they're trying to do. That's a deficit that we have here. And if you are looking at moving to Bryan College Station, if you're looking to move XYZ industry here and you need lab techs or you need fabricators, you need a certain skill level, it is hard to get that to move to this environment. It's easier to get a researcher. It's much easier to get somebody with a master's degree or a PhD. It's much more difficult to get that level of of employment in Bryan College Station.
Do you have a sense that if they decided to come up with a situation that, that Blinn was not included in, or that there needed to be a taxing entity and added to the what everybody has to pay every month, is that something that would be accepted in College Station?
The getting somebody to vote in a new taxing entity is always difficult. I was involved in another jurisdiction. There was a junior college district that was looking to expand that was sort of surrounding my jurisdiction, and that was roundly defeated by the city I lived in there. And I think the demographics were very similar. We had a lot of aerospace engineers and chemical engineers, and again, I think they assumed their progeny were going to go off to a four-year institution. So I think, it really depends on the particulars of the situation, what that taxing level would be, et cetera, et cetera. We don't know any of that.
Thanks for the time this morning.
Thank you, sir.
Our community segment is brought to you by Van Dyke Rankin Insurance Agency, serving your insurance needs since 1936 with honesty and integrity.
80 years ago, life was simple, and so was insurance. Since 1936, Van Dyke Rankin has been insuring your family and business, protecting those things most important to you. As a homeowner, we know you want to protect your largest investment. Save money while working with someone you know and trust. Van Dyke Rankin Insurance. People just like you, providing insurance services with honesty and integrity.
If you have land to take care of, you need a service and supply company that can take care of you. Wegwert Inc. in Calvert has served the Brazos Valley with small-town attention since 1978. Is your farm equipment in need of service or repair? Lance and his crew are experts at repairing and refurbishing trailers, including electrical, and offer welding services for farm equipment. And Wegwert Inc. is your trusted source for hay balers, shredders, and pasture sprayers at no-hassle prices. Ask about this month's special on row balers. Wegwert Inc. on Highway 6 in Calvert, or visit WegwertInc.com.
Are you ready for the madness? The Aggie Hoop season tips off with Maroon Madness on Thursday, October 27th at 8 p.m. at Reed Arena. Your first chance to interact with the 2016-17 men's and women's basketball teams. This free event will feature team intros, a dunk contest, a three-point shootout, giveaways, and more. To close the night, the Aggie men's team will unveil their 2016 SEC Championship banner. Be there for the madness on October 27th at Reed Arena. Visit 12thman.com for details.
Well, it's near the end of the month, and that means we need to talk about what's on stage in the Brazos Valley and Bryan and College Station and thereabouts. And I tell you what, folks, it is a busy, busy November getting ready for the holiday season. Unity Brenham at unitybrenham.org. It's called Freud's Last Session, and it actually starts tomorrow. Yeah, Thursday night, and it runs through November the 6th. Thursday at 7:30, then Friday and Saturday shows at 8, and then Sunday shows at 4. That's four shows per weekend, two weekends, eight shows in all. Go to unitybrenham.org for more information. Now, you talk about unique. The Navasota Theater Alliance really defines unique with this one. Tomorrow, Friday, and Saturday. NavasotaTheater.org. You can go to that website to find out more about it. Lanterns and Legends. Politics as usual. Here's what they say about it. Dig deeper into the history of the men and women who walked the streets of Navasota. Settled in this town from faraway places, created businesses, and impacted our history. Travel from grave to grave with the light of a lantern while the history comes alive. Yeah, if you like ghost tours, this is for you. It's Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. It starts at 6:30 each evening, and there are six tours per night. They start every 15 minutes, starting at 6:30, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, starting tomorrow. The cost is $10. Just bring the money with you. And where do you go? To the Oakland Cemetery in Navasota. It ought to be fun. The Theater Company has a real classic coming up. You can go to theatercompany.com for more information. It's Sweeney Todd, the Demon Barber of Fleet Street. It is indeed a classic. Matter of fact, I've seen this before. Production of the Theater Company. This time, it starts November the 18th. It goes through the 27th. That's two weekends, eight shows in all, four shows per weekend, starting on November the 18th. Friday and Saturday shows are at 7. Saturday and Sunday shows are at 2. Again, theatercompany.com for more information. Now, you talk about a busy month. MSC Opus. Yeah, go to mscopus.org for more information about their season 44. Starting on November the 9th, for two nights, the 9th and the 10th at 7:30 at the Rudder Auditorium, it's Elf the Musical. That's part of their main stage series. Then on November 15th, Intimate Gatherings, 7:30, Judgment at Nuremberg at the Rudder Theater. Then let's pick up with their Family Fun series on November the 20th, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, the musical. There'll be shows at 1 o'clock and 4 o'clock, and that also will be at Rudder Auditorium. They're not through with November yet. Let's take it back to Intimate Gatherings at Rudder Theater on November the 28th. All is Calm, the Christmas Truce of 1914. That'll be at 7:30. Tell you what, I am looking forward to that. And then they'll end November the 30th, with another main stage show at Rudder Auditorium. It's Chris Bodie live in concert. I tell you what, that is a man who can play the trumpet. I tell you what, it is a great get ready for the holiday time in the Brazos Valley on the stages. Now, Brazos Valley Troop and Stage Center have nothing going in November, but they've got a lot of holiday fare coming up in December, and we'll talk more about that at the end of November. I'm Tom Turbeville. That's Bravo Brazos Valley. It's brought to you by Coldwell Banker, Agtown Realtors, voted the best in the Brazos Valley.
Have you outgrown your nest? I'm Clayton Van Ness. Call my mom, Monica, to find your dream nest.
Hi, I'm Monica Van Est with Coldwell Banker Agtown Realtors, Aggie Class of 03. After being in the real estate business 16 years, I've learned how to help my clients find the perfect nest. Have you found that you have an empty nest and need to downsize? Are you looking for a new nest or looking to buy a nest for your investment? Call Monica Van Est, Agtown Realtors, 574-4118.
This is former Mayor of Bryan, Ron Blatchley. I understand what it takes to lead our city, and I wholeheartedly endorse Andrew Nelson to be our next mayor. Andrew will end the fighting at City Hall and unite our community and council to keep Bryan moving forward. As a small business owner, Andrew has met a payroll, he's created jobs, and dealt with complex budgets. Join me in voting Andrew Nelson as our next mayor of Bryan.
Political ad paid for by the Andrew Nelson Campaign, Kenny Lawson, Treasurer.
Good morning, a couple of minutes till News Talk 1620 WTAW. So, the Malaysian air authorities from Kuala Lumpur International Airport had to put an ad in the paper to say that there were three 747s that were sitting at the Kuala Lumpur airport and had been for more than a year, and they don't know who they belong to.
What?
Yeah. Okay. And they told them, if you don't come get these planes, we're going to sell them. So, I guess threatened with that, a cargo firm has come forward now.
Oh,
to
those
say,
are ours.
Yeah.
Storage for a year.
Well, something, or we forgot where we put them.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Sorry. My bad.
Can't find your car keys. Oh, can't find your 747s. It's all the same thing.
Yeah.
makes absolute sense.
Hey, quick traffic update.
Please.
There is a wreck at 2818 and Leonard Road. It is the lanes shut down to only one on the northbound side. Okay. Traffic backed all the way up to the Welburn Overpass. So wreck at 2818 and Leonard Road. Just a heads up for those of you driving in that area.
In Wales, Kieran Cable's friends decided he was spending too much time with his girlfriend, and he was missing so many fun things. Matter of fact, he was gone so often, they just kind of acted like he was dead. So they decided that they would do that. They dressed up in formal wear, went and borrowed a coffin from a funeral home, and decided to have, well, a funeral for their non-dead friend.
Wow.
Yeah. One thing is clear, they couldn't really fake the funeral without the not-deceased
body.
Yeah. So about 50 of his closest friends told him they were going to go watch a Rugby World Cup game, ask him to come along. He did. They went and had the mock funeral. You know what, though? By telling him that he seems dead because he's spending too much time with his girlfriend.
Yeah.
He can't tell his girlfriend. That wouldn't end well.
No, not at all.
I think
not
that might have been the
bit.
Point.
Yeah.
Could be. 1997, St. Vincent's Hospital in Green Bay, Wisconsin sent out an SOS. They had five babies, and they'd run out of their green and gold Green Bay Packer caps and booties.
Oh.
A knitting patrol came together, and within a day, they had 10 of them. All right, we're back tomorrow. WTAW, College Station, Bryan.